Our goal for today is to see some of the insights of the Meshech Chochma for Parshas Baaloscha. We'll begin in Perek Ches, Posuk Vav, and here the Torah teaches us to take the Levim, Mitoch B'nei Yisrael, and to designate them and sanctify them for their Avodah. And the Meshech Chochma notices something, which of course, as usual, whenever I speak about his insights, something that we would certainly miss. Because once you open up Perek Ches to Sefer Bamidbar, you can't help noticing that the phrase B'nei Yisrael appears quite often. It's atypical that it should be so frequent. Obviously, B'nai Yisrael is always there, but if you begin the parsha of Kachas HaLevim after the parsha of the menorah, and you'll see Kachas HaLevim mitoch B'nai Yisrael v'kota selahem, and then it goes on to tell you how the Kiddush takes place. You'll see in Pasuk Tes V'ikhaltas kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Again in Pasuk Yud, V'somchu b'nei Yisrael. Again in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Me'eis b'nei Yisrael. And in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Hifdaltem es ha-Levim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. And fast forwarding to Pasuk Tes Zayin, Kol Rechem Bechar Kol B'nei Yisrael, Posuk Yud Zayin Kol Bechar B'nei Yisrael, and it's unbelievable. It's like every other Posuk says B'nei Yisrael in this one parsha. But what's the Chiddush of Rav Simcha? He says, let's count in one parsha how many times the Torah repeats the phrase B'nei Yisrael. And he comes up with the number 13. It's almost as if the Meshech Chochma is writing his own Medrash Chazal. He asks himself the question, why the repetition of B'nai Yisrael over and over again in this context? And why the number 13? And he says the following, that the number 13, which has many, many different symbolic meanings, all of which are significant, but in this context, we'll focus on one particular significance of the number 13. And that is the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And Rav Meir Simcha is very much aware of what we're all aware of, that the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim have a tremendous power, almost a mystical power, to be mechaper on B'nai Yisrael. A kapara for even the most heinous of all crimes. In fact, if you open up to Parshas Ki Tisa and Shmos Lamed Gimel, there you will learn that in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, probably easily the most severe of any avera we can think of on the part of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. And therefore, Meir Simcha writes, "Beparsha zu, bedivrei Hashem yisbarach." Now, the reason why he adds "bedivrei Hashem yisbarach" is there really are 15 times that B'nai Yisrael appears. That phrase appears in this parsha, if you count Pasuk Chaf. But Pasuk Chaf, if you read it carefully, where B'nai Yisrael appears twice, is not something that was addressed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, let's count the amount of times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeats B'nai Yisrael in this parasha, and the magic number is 13. Now Rav Meir Simcha wants to know if 13 B'nai Yisrael means kapara, just like the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, why is it included here in this parsha of Kiddush HaLevim? And the answer is, L'Rames, this is a Remez, Shahoy Re'uyim L'Kloya Avur HaEgel, that the punishment that was appropriate heaven forbid, for Bnei Yisrael would have been total destruction in the aftermath of the Egel. So it's a serious violation of idolatry. But there was one group, one Shevet, that was not part of the Egel. And that was the Shevet Levi. The Levium, not only did they desist from the participation, but moreover, Kanu Lishmo Yisparach. They were jealous on behalf of God. And they were the ones who initiated the punishment, because whenever you see the word Kana, Kuf Nun Aleph, it always means, Rashi says over and over again, it means Peronios, it means punishment. And the Kapara for the Chet HaEgel comes to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Shehizkir Moshe, back in Parshas Ki Tisa. And therefore, if we open up our Parsha here in Baloscha to Pasuk Yutes, which is actually the culmination of this Parsha, the Torah says, Ve'etna Salavim Nisunim Li Aaron Ulebana Mitoch B'nei Yisrael Lechaper Al B'nei Yisrael. It's unbelievable that the Levim are actually the, you know, they're playing a two-role contribution or role. They're actually wearing two hats. On the one end, they will be Makane, and they will implement the punishment for the sin of the Egel, but at the same time, they bring down the Rachamim and the Kapara for Bnei Yisrael. However, Rabbi Meir Simcha has another Chiddush. You know, it's not enough to build one Chiddush. You got to stand on the shoulders of one Chiddush and build another Chiddush. And he says, let's rewind to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes has Bnei Yisrael in it, but with one prefix, which doesn't appear too often in the Torah. And that is Adas Bnei Yisrael. And Rabbi Meir Simcha points out that throughout Chazal in Torah Sheval Peh, the phrase B'nai Yisrael is very often used by the Torah to exclude the women folk. B'nos Yisrael are excluded. B'nai and V'lo B'nos. The exception to that rule is Adas B'nai Yisrael. Says Rabbi Meir Simcha, why is it so critical that the Torah in this context add the word Adas B'nai Yisrael? He says, "Bazen nichlulu gam hanoshim," to include the women in this parsha, in this great kapara, which will be served by the Levim. And says Rabbi Meir Simcha, "Shelo chatu bi egel," based on a medrash in Shir Hashirim, the women folk refused to bring forward their wonderful jewels, their gold, to build the egel. They did not participate in the Egel. In fact, Rav Meir Simcha doesn't mention it, but the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh is actually a gift to the women. They have a role and a participation in Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh has to do with the fact that the women folk, did not participate in the Egel. So just to wrap it up, because I want to move on, and I'll take questions, but I want to move on to the next Chiddush of Rav Meir Simcha, so many Chiddushim. Rav Meir Simcha sees that the Levim were chosen to replace whom? Rav Osai. Who were replaced by the Levim? The Bechorim. The Bechoros were meant to do the Avodas HaLevim. That was the original plan. But unfortunately, tragically, the Bechoros participated in the Chet HaEgel, and that disqualified them for the Avodah. So who would now take over and replace the Bechorim and receive the responsibility, the obligation of the Avodah? The Avoda that would clinch Kapara for Klal Yisrael would be the Levim, because they didn't participate in worshipping the idol, that terrible sin. And not only that, the Levim are given a Kiddush, a sanctity that expresses itself in 13 times B'nai Yisrael, the 13 Midos HaRachamim. They will bring the Kapara for Klal Yisrael. And here, when we talk about B'nai Yisrael, the Torah goes out of its way to use the phrase B'nos Yisrael, meaning Adas B'nai Yisrael. I want to just add something here, if I may, based on what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha. The Rav used to tell us that the phrase Adas B'nai Yisrael is much different than Machne Bnei Yisrael. And he pointed out that a Jewish community can be formed under one of two categories, which are fundamentally different one from the other. There's the Machne Yisrael. The purpose of the Machne Yisrael is to create a camp with the Shvatim and the Nesiim who will take the people of Israel out to battle to defeat their adversaries. And here Rav Soloveitchik used to always point out that the Machne and the formation thereof is not proactive, but rather reactive. When there are adversaries on the outside that threaten Bnei Yisrael, when we all as Jews face the common fate of the enemies of Israel that hate us, we gather together to protect one another. And when it's a situation of Machne Yisrael, then every Jew is in the same boat. It doesn't matter whether you're a tzaddik, whether you're not a tzaddik, whether you're a pious person, whether you're an assimilated Jew, whether you're rich, you're poor, you're all in the same boat when the adversaries of Israel come to attack us. And I might add that we saw this so tragically during the Shoah. That's Machne Yisrael. But the higher level of a community of Israel is Adas Yisrael. Adas Yisrael is proactive. Adas Yisrael is something that came to be at the time of the great revelation of Har Sinai, when we gathered together not to protect ourselves from the enemies, but rather with a common vision, a common commitment, a common goal, to be proactive, to create, to contribute. And Klal Yisrael includes the men and the women. And if without the women, we cannot be proactive, without the Adas Yisrael that includes the women folk. They had the vision, and they understood at the time of the revelation of Har Sinai, according to Rabbi Simcha, that Chas v'Shalom, heaven forbid, that they would participate, that they would lift a finger on behalf of an idol worship. And that was their absolute loyalty to the one God. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about idol worship, Kanoes Kinosi, when Eliyahu HaNavi is jealous on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the word kina applies in the parasha of Sota, that a husband says to his wife, as we had in last week's parasha, that she shouldn't go into a seclusion with a certain man. The women were loyal. They were loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were loyal to her husbands, they were loyal to the vision of Adas Bnei Yisrael. Okay, I'm just going to announce, for those who want to see the next pasuk, but we'll take a break for questions, just to make the announcement, let's fast forward, if you will, to pasuk Chaf Hei in the same Perek Ches. And we'll see here another chidush of Rav Meir Simcha. Any questions at this point? If not, I'll just keep going. I'm on a roll. So let's take a look at pasuk Chaf Hei. The Torah says, Umi ben, excuse me, Chamishim Shana. We're talking about the Levium and the ages of the Levium for their service. And the Torah says, Mi ben Chamishim Shana Yashuv Mitzvah Avodah Velo Yavod Od. And the simple meaning of this pasuk is that the Torah has designated a certain age bracket for the Avodas HaLevim. The Avodas HaLevim had a number of different parts to it. For example, one part would be carrying the Mishkan. In the case of Shevet Levi, Kahas was one branch that was designated to carry the Aron Bris Hashem Ala Kotif Yiso. Shevet Levi was in charge of being Meshoarim. They would surround the Beis HaMikdash and they would guard the gates. They were Meshoarim. They were also singers. And they sang during the time that the Kohanim were involved in their responsibility, their Avodah. Not only did they sing vocally, but they also played instruments. Their most prominent instruments were the cymbals. the harps, and in some cases the flutes. And that divides up the two types of shira. One category of shira is called shira bepeh, that's the vocalist song, and then the shira bekli, which is the instrumental. Now the Torah tells us that the Levi reached the age of 50. We don't usually retire people at the age of 50, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared in His wisdom that the Levim should be retired from their avoda at the age of 50. And the Torah tells us,
this one in here,
V'lo yavod od.
Yeah.
V'lo yavod od.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so I don't know if the 50th birthday party for a Levi is sweet, or maybe it's bittersweet, because lo yavod od. Let's take a look at Rashi on Pasuk Chaf Hei. Rashi says, lo yavod od, avodas masa bekotev. You know, we can understand that carrying the aron for kahas on the shoulders is quite a feat, and it requires a good physique. You've reached the age of 50. Lo yavod od, says Rashi, avodas masa bekotev. Aval chozer hu lin ilas shiorim l'shir v'liton agolos. Interesting. Rashi says that there were other functions and responsibilities of the Levim. He mentions the Ilas Sha'orim, they were the gate watchers, the gatekeepers, Shir. And Rashi says, Liton Agolos. So we're not talking about Kahas, we're talking about Gershoni and Merari, and they were in charge of carrying that part of the Mishkan that was laid down on the wagons. Rav Meir Simcha has a chiddush. He quotes Rashi, and he says the following. If you turn back one parsha to Naso, the Torah describes the avoda of the Levim in a very strange phrase. It says, avodas avoda. Their service is the service of a service. What does that mean? And the answer is that their avoda was an accompaniment of avoda. It accompanied an avoda. I don't want to use the word tag on because that sounds a little pejorative, a secondary, but it was a kind of a tag on. The Iker avoda was the avodas HaKohanim. The Levim would do an avoda to serve the avoda of the Kohanim. And while the Kohanim were doing the Nisach HaYayin, for example, they were pouring the wine, the Kohanim were busy with their shir. This is also true, as we'll soon see later in another Chiddush of Rav Meir Simcha, at the time of the Tkiyas HaChatzotzros, the Kohanim were in charge of blowing the trumpets, and the Levim would accompany that with their shir. And that's called, in the language of Parshas Naso, Avodas Avoda. And Avodas Avoda was Shir, and the song was also B'miltzatayim, which are cymbals, with kinoros, different kinds of harps. Shehi Avoda L'Avoda Acheres. It's an attachment to another Avoda. Now, let's take a look for a moment at this concept called Avodas Avoda. Would the Shira of the Levim, which accompanied that of the Kohen, would that continue, that Avodas Avoda, beyond the age of 50? And if you take a look at Rashi, back in Parshas Noso, Rashi there indicates that there are many differences between Shira B'Peh and Shira B'Kli. And Rashi says that the concept of Avoda Cheres is a concept that focuses on Shira B'Kli. So the Shira B'Peh right now is integral to the Avodas HaKohanim, and the Shira B'Kli becomes somewhat secondary. And it's very fascinating, because says Rabbi Simcha, that although Shira B'Kli, playing these instruments, is significant, and no doubt it enhances the Shira, the song of the Levium, when it's accompanied by musical instrumentals, but nevertheless, it plays a secondary role. And that's why, when we speak about Avoda Le'Avoda, Avodas Avoda, we differentiate between Shira B'Peh and Shira B'Kli. And this reflects the opinion in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Nun that maintains that Shira B'Peh is Ikar, Shira, and Shira B'Kli is secondary Shira. Says Rav Meir Simcha, in the light of that distinction, let's go back to our discussion about the age limit beyond which a Levi is no longer in charge of Avoda, which is the age of 50. And he says the following, that L'chalek bein Shira B'Peh L'Shira B'Kli, Shira B'Peh is something that is so fundamental in the Avoda of the Levium, says Rav Meir Simcha, that he believes it's not limited in time, in age. So even after we will retire, so to speak, the Levi at the age of 50 from his Avodas Katev, we will not retire him from Shira B'Peh. Now that's a pretty radical chiddush, to accept that distinction between Shira B'Kli and Shira B'Peh, Shira B'Kli being secondary, Shira B'Peh being the primary Shira, and therefore to superimpose it on our pasuk here, which clearly indicates Lo Yavod Od, but Rashi already gave us a little bit of an insight. He already punctured the balloon that Lo Yavod Od is a limited Lo Yavod Od, and even after the age of 50, Levium are still in there, they're still hitting the balls. So what are they doing? What is the Avoda of the Levium afterwards? So Rabbeir says, I found a secret in a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. It says in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Chaf Gimel, Vaisapra Levium mi ben shloshim shana lamala me'elu natzeach hamoleches beis Hashem. And it says ve'arbas alofim shoarim ve'arbas alofim mahalilim lashem. And the next word is the key word, bekelim. And the pasuk is telling us that at a certain age, namely shloshim shana, when the Levium was still young, they could do the Avoda, and included in the Avoda was to be Mahalel Hashem, to sing God, the praises of God, Bekelim. Why does the Tanakh add the emphasis of Bekelim? Says Rav Meir Simcha, because the Tanakh is telling you when the age bracket between 30 and 50 is critical. It's critical so that the Levium could play the instruments. However, Avol Shir B'Peh, when it comes to the vocalists, Ein Shonim Poslim Bohem. This could be good news for Chazonim, by the way. That even after the age of 50, the Levium will continue in their Avoda of Shira B'Peh. The nafkamina is going to be shir b'kli. Shir b'kli is going to be dropped once the Levi reaches the age of 50. And the Ramban would not, agree with Rav Meir Simcha. Rav Meir Simcha knows very well that he's against the Ramban. There's a very long Ramban here on this pasuk, Ayin Sham. But Rav Meir Simcha thinks that the retirement age, the limit Lamala, which is 50, is only relevant to Shira B'Kli, but not to Shira B'Peh. And I share this with you for two reasons. First of all, it shows me the Ha'aza, you know, the, if you pardon the word, I don't mean it in a negative, I mean it in a positive way, the chutzpah of Ramer Simcha, that he is willing to change our understanding of the halachas of Levim based on a diuk. In a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, which mentions Kalim, together with Rashi, who differentiates with regard to Avoda LeAvoda between the Peh and the Shir, that the Avoda LeAvoda, which means a secondary kind of Avoda, is referencing the case of Kli, because Kli is not the Iker Shira, the Iker Shira is B'Peh. And secondly, I share this with you because I think it really sheds a light on the nature of Shira and its significance. I always ask myself the question, and maybe you have asked yourself that question too, to what extent is the Shira Salavim integral to the Avodas HaKohanim? We know that they're working in tandem. We know that the Levim are doing what's called an Avoda Le'Avoda, and there's a unification, so to speak, between the Kohanim and Levim working together. Does that express itself in the Shira of the Levim? And I think the answer is yes and no, but the most profound answer is yes, because when we talk about Shira B'Peh, when we talk about the Ikar Shira, the Gemara tells us that although in a case of Shabbos, when the Olas Shabbos was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, Gemara says in Sukkah, I mentioned it earlier on Daf Nun, that although the Levim would accompany the Nisuch Hayayin of the Olas Shabbos, they would only sing B'Peh. They would not play the instruments. During the week, they would be on their cymbals, on their harps, blowing their flutes in order to accompany the Nisuch Hayayin, but not on Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't play with instruments. And what we're left with is Shira B'Peh. Again, a reflection of the fact that Shira B'Peh is part of the Karban. A Karban requires Shira. And there are two dimensions to that Shira. One is the Yayin, Ein Shira El B'Yayin. The Nisuch HaYayin is an expression of praise to God. And number two, the Shira B'Peh of the Levim. The Shira B'Peh itself would be enhanced by its own secondary accompaniment, so that if the Shira B'Peh of the Levim was an accompaniment to the Nisuch HaYayin, the Shira B'Kli of the Levim was an accompaniment to the Shira B'Peh. So you had different Levim, and these Levim were singing, these Levim were playing the instruments. But as far as the Kiyum Shira is concerned, where we integrate the song of the Levim with the Nisuch of the Kohanim, that integration of Shira is meant to uplift and embellish the Karban to such an extent that on Shabbos, when we bring those karbanos of Shabbos, we must accompany the Nisuch HaYayin with Shira, but that Shira is going to be limited to the Ikar Shira, the Shira that is part of the Avodas HaKohanim, the Shira that enhances the Karban, the Shira of Peh. Shira B'Kli is only a kind of a Zekeli V'Anveu, a secondary embellishment, which is the Avodas Avoda, which will not override the Shabbos. And not only that, the Levim at the age of 50, says Rav Meir Simcha, will retire, or be retired, I should say, from Shira B'Kli. But Shira B'Peh, that's the Ikar Shira. As we saw the proof from Divrei Hayomim, that would continue. There's no psul of Shanim with regard to Shira B'Peh. I'll stop again for questions, but in the meantime, just an announcement. If you could open up the Chumash, fast forward to Perek Tes. Perek Tes, Pasuk Zion. And it's a little tricky because Rav Meir Simcha has a number of comments here in Perek Tes and even in Pasuk Zion itself. What we're looking at is the second paragraph that starts with the words Lama Nigara. The second paragraph, Lama Nigara. Now it's interesting. Here in Parshas Balotzcha, we have the Parsha of Korban Pesach. And of course, the question begs itself. Korban Pesach belongs in Parshas Bo. In fact, that's where it is. What's the goal, the agenda of Balotzcha in Korban Pesach? It's the Lama Nigara. The Tmeim who were enjoined from bringing the Pesach on the 14th of Nisan came forward and said, Lama Nigara, why should we be excluded? In fact, according to the Chazal, who were these people who were Tmeim? They were those who buried Nadav Aviv after the great tragedy of their death. Lama Nigara, why should we be excluded from the great mitzvah of Korban Pesach? And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up to Shamayim, he addresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he gets the answer from on high, Pesach Sheni. The entire institution, the entire enterprise, I should say, of Pesach Sheni, is codified here in Parshas Balotzcha. And once again, to mention my Rebbe Zichron Levracha, used to say that Parshas Balotzcha was meant in its original plan to be the last masa, the last stop, and the last journey towards Eretz Yisrael. However, history tragically changed because of the sin, and then we got the Nunim Hafuchim. But Pesach Sheni was actually the last clincher in preparing the people of Israel. We have the Kiddush HaLevim, and we're going to blow the Chatzotzros, we're going to gather together the people for the Masa, for that great journey, and we're going to enter into the land of Israel. Moshe is going to take us into the land. And that was the original divine schedule. So the Pesach Sheni was that last clincher, because Pesach Sheni is really part and parcel of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim will culminate, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe at the Sneh in Shmos Perek Gimel, with Tachas Yavdun Eselkim Tachas Ahar. Is that right here, where I'm meeting you today on the Sneh on Mount Horeb? That's where they're going to get the avod of the 613 mitzvahs, the Kabbalah Sator at Har Sinai. Then immediately the next day, we're going to start building the Mishkan. And now the avod is complete. The Korban Pesach has been brought, even by the Tmei. Rav Meir Simcha sees in this parsha a glorious golden opportunity to speak about Korban Pesach. Why is Korban Pesach so significant? Any mitzvah saseh other than Korban Pesach and Bris Milah, the individual who ignores the mitzvah is not punished, but in these two cases, the punishment is very severe. It's a chiv kares. And Rav Meir Simcha presents a complex theory about the hashkafic and symbolic meaning of the Korban Pesach. And he points out that the greatest deterrent from Avodah, way back in the day, again, we're not familiar with this in our day because, thank God, Anshei Knesset HaGdola were able to be poel, they achieved that we no longer have a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship. And anyone who learns Chumash is faced with that difficult challenge to try to understand how Avodah Zarah is so alluring. How is it that half of Tanakh, if I'm not exaggerating, is about Bnei Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, being allured to worship the idols. Says Rav Meir Simcha, the antidote, so to speak, to Avodah Zarah is the Korban Pesach. He says the following, and I'm going to just read the most important parts. It's a very long piece. He says, based on Tosfos in the first perek of Kiddushin, he says that the Tzivui of the Korban Pesach and its implementation would be in stages. Stage 1, Parshas Bo. Stage 2, which is Pesach Sheni, Parshas Baal Loscha. But the actual Hakrova of the Korban Pesach would have to be delayed because of the word Bia. And the Gemara in Kiddushin says that whenever it says Ki Tavo El Haaretz, it adds V'yirishta V'yishavta Bo. That Bia means Li'achar Yerusha V'yishiva. And Yoshua is going to implement whatever is necessary, Milo and so forth, to prepare the people of Israel after they enter in the land for the Korban Pesach. He says the following, Hatam Shenitztavu Nireh. This is Rabbi Simcha's attempt at Tamei HaMitzvos, which he so frequently makes that effort. D'matzonu v'kam v'komo shehuvdulu me'avodah zorah l'avodas Hashem Yisbarach l'shmo hamiyuchad al yedei Pesach. The Havdalah, the separation of the people of Israel from Avodah Zorah, to dedicate themselves exclusively and loyally to serve Hashem, the Shem HaMiyuchad, was through the Korban Pesach. The function and the power of Korban Pesach was such that it would completely derail any sort of enticement for Avodah Zarah. And although there are many different elements in the mandate of Hashem to serve Hashem, which were meant to derail us and be marchik us from Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, Korban Pesach plays the primary role. And he says, I'll prove it to you. From Chizkiyo HaMelech. Chizkiyo HaMelech dedicated almost his entire career as king of Israel to uproot Avodah Zarah, to destroy the contamination of the idols that had penetrated through and through into the Mikdash itself. And after he completes his task, again on the side, footnote, he didn't really complete the task, he almost completed the task. Hotziu Anida. Nida here is a reference to Avodah Zarah. The Gemara compares, based on Psukim and Tanakh, an idol to Nida, which means you have to stay far away. And Heviu Karbonos Lechaper Al Shigigas Avodah Zarah. And the Tanakh goes out of its way in Divrei Hayomim, this entire chapter, which we'll talk about a little bit later, in Divrei Hayomim 2, Chronicles 2, Perikov Tes, that's dedicated to Chizkiyo HaMelech and all the cleaning up of the Beis HaMikdash that he did. And they brought Karbonos Lechaper Al Shigigas Avodah Zarah. Because the period of time, Achaz and various predecessors of Chizkiyo, who were kings that brought the worship of idols into the Kodesh, and now it's time to bring Karbonos. The fascinating thing is, and that's going to be the next discussion we'll have, Rabbi Simcha calls the Avodah Zarah Shgaga, because otherwise, how could you bring a Karbon to be Mechaper on a Mezid? Karbon is only Mechaper on a Shogeg. And then, at the culmination of this entire ritual, this entire dedication process of Chizkiyahu, Asa Pesach Lashem. The pasuk in that chapter in Divrei Yomim goes out of its way to say that Chizkiyahu did three things. Number one, he cleaned out the tumah of idols, Hotziu Sanida, as it says. Number two, he brought karbanos lechaper al avodah zarah. And number three, he brought a karban pesach. Now, the pasuk says, Lasos Pesach Lashem. Well, it's interesting. How could Chizkiyahu HaMelech bring a Karban Pesach? It wasn't the 14th of Nisan. The calendar dates are included in the Pesukim. Unbelievable. And Chizkiyahu sends out letters, as recorded by Divrei Hayomim, Vayishlach Chizkiyahu El Kol Yisrael VYehuda Igros Kosav Ephraim Umenasha Lovel Beis Hashem BYushalayim Lasos Pesach Lashem. So again, without getting into the halachic ramifications of Chizkiyahu bringing a Korban Pesach on a date other than the 14th of Nisan, hashkafically, the question begs itself: why? I mean, you brought karbonos, I understand, lechaper al avodah zarah, but why a Karban Pesach? And the answer is, because Karban Pesach is the exact antithesis of avodah zarah. It is an avodah that brings us to a dedication exclusively to the Shem HaMiyuchad. That's what the Karban Pesach is all about. And we'll see why in just a minute. And based on this, Rabbi Meir Simcha wants to answer another question, not just Chizkiyahu bringing a Karban Pesach. But the Sifri has a very interesting comment on the Parsha of Gerus. And the Torah says, V'chi yagur itchem ger, v'asa Pesach Lashem. There's even a Havamin in the Gemara, and in the Sifri, I should say, that the Asa Pesach Hashem means immediately after his Gerus. Now, my friends, Gerus is not taking place on the 14th of Nisan. No one has time for Gerus when we're involved in preparing the Karban Pesach. And the Havamina in the Sifri was that the Ger, no matter what day of the calendar year he completes his Gerus, he will bring a Karban Pesach. Yochel Miat. Talmud Lomer kechukas haPesach, a special gzeres haKosuv, to tell us that the Karban Pesach of the Ger will be delayed until the 14th of Nisan. And why is this so? Because Pesach HaMidbar, that one Pesach that they brought in the first year, is Bo L'Tayr Yisrael Michet Shel Egel. The purpose of the Karban Pesach is to separate ourselves from idolatry, to dedicate ourselves to the service of one God, to accept Yichud Hashem, the unity of God. And that's what the Ger has to know, that the essence of his Gerus is to leave Avodah Zarah behind, drop the idols, dedicate yourself to the Shem HaMiyuchad. Ki HaPesach Mora Al Hashgacha Pratis. On that fateful night of the 14th of Nisan, the night before Makas Bechoros, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bnei Yisrael to take the dam from the Pesach and put it on the Mashkov, that was a horah, that was a teaching of Hashgacha Pratis. And that separates us, the Jewish nation, from the nations of the world. They believe that Hashgacha comes through various Kochavim u'Mazalot, different intermediaries and celestial powers. But we know that Hashgacha comes directly from God, without any intermediaries. And therefore, on that night of the Karban Pesach, the Dama Pesach, Hivdil Bein Amo Bnei Yisrael L'chol Amim, U'Bein Amo Bnei Yisrael L'Mitzrayim, Hivdil Bein Bechar L'Sheino Bechar, we are called Bechar, Bini Bechar Yisrael, and they are not the Bechoros. Their Bechoros will perish. And therefore, what is the lesson, the meaning that's conveyed, transmitted by the Korban Pesach? Moral hayoso bi'atzmo yisbarach. Ha-poel, God Himself, is the poel, belishum emtza'i, umisovev, veloke, ovdei kochavim ha'omrim, shemosar ashkachoso, He has given over the reins of control, lerum aloso, because He's too great to deal, you know, get down in the trenches, and He's given it over the kochos ha-galgalim, gormei shamayim, asher he-manhigiv asateva. No. There's Almighty God above nature, His Ashkocha. And furthermore, says Rav Meir Simcha Mora, the teaching of Korban Pesach is Asher Hashem Yisbach Rotze Bekirum Hanimtzoyim, that Korban Pesach represents God's desire, His will to save those who are in peril, to keep them alive. Through the Korban Pesach, Ubiyosam, and here Rav Meir Simcha finds an opportunity to put in his Hashkocha, which we've seen over and over again throughout his work on Chumash. Because who are the people of Israel? B'yosam al atzad ha-yosher v'chesed v'chevra ha-enushit. Do you remember we spoke about this? Rav Meir Simcha is very opposed to isolationism. He's very much in favor of chevra enushit, of social intercourse, people getting together. Yosher, for straight purposes, not to cheat, chas v'sholom, for chesed, for compassion and kindness. And therefore he says the Korban Pesach should never be shechted one individual. And if you would ask me why, the Gemara seems to supply the right answer, because we can't leave over any nosa. So you may be very hungry on the night of Pesach, and roast meat smells really good, but how could you eat the entire lamb? But Rav Meir Simcha has a different take on it. Why don't we take the Korban Pesach b'yochid? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spared us as a nation. Because we are roi for His Hashkocha. And that is because we live as an Eda, as we said before, as a community. And therefore, we have a mitzvah of Chabura. The Korban Pesach has to be brought with a Chabura. Rav Meir Simcha, the next paragraph, develops this and embellishes it further about how the Korban Pesach teaches us that every single Jew is royal Hashkochas Elokim. In other Korbanos, we have a mitzvah of singling out the Kohen. The Chaz of Ashok, which are parts of the Korban Shlomim, have to be dedicated to the Kohen. There's no Chaz of Ashok in Pesach. V'zeh mora al rotzon Hashem yisper, ki yivatel ha-shibud me'odom li'odom. Because what is the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach says that every individual man, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, it matters not, is great. Avadayhem. We are all servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now's not the time to give such special respect and honor and glory to the Kohanim. Because Hashkocha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for every single individual. And that is the message of the Korban Pesach. Now, I realize from both sides that we're officially out of time. Anyone who could stay a little bit longer, I would like to at least try to introduce one more amazing Chiddush of Rav Meir Simcha. And if you fast forward to Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud, we get to the parasha of the Chatzotzrots, of the trumpets. So let's just open up the Chumash. Whenever I think of the trumpets, I always think of driving in New York City, because whenever I'm in New York City driving on the highways, there's always traffic. And I always turn on 1010 Winds to get the update on the traffic. So let's turn to 1010 Bamidbar. And the Torah tells us here that we have a special mitzvah of blowing the chatzotzos. When? On what occasion? B'yom simchaschem, u'bemoadechem, u'veroshei chodshechem, uskatem b'chatzotzos. And Rav Meir Simcha focuses and calls our attention to b'yom simchaschem. And he says the following. there are two key words in this pasuk that should be bolded, that should be emphasized. There's Simchaschem and there's Chatzotzos. And the two go hand in hand. So that our expression of Simcha is going to express itself in the blowing of the trumpets. But yet, at what point in time? Okay, Yom Simchaschem, it's a great occasion for Simcha, celebration. Moadechem, Rosh Chodeshechem, and so forth. But the Torah pinpoints exactly the moment in which we blow the trumpets on these days of Simcha. And the Torah says that it should be Al Loseichem V'Al Zivchei Shalmeichem. It should be connected to the bringing of the Karbanos. Rav Meir Simcha says that what Moshe Rabbeinu here is teaching is something about the Mishkan, but not only the Mishkan of Moshe, but something that will be relevant for every Beis HaMikdash throughout Jewish history. So if we talk about the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, we can then talk about the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. We can talk about the second Beis HaMikdash built under the tutelage of Ezra. And this parsha that we're learning now is going to set, shall I say, the paradigm for Simcha and for blowing the trumpets. This mitzvah is given to us following Parshas Noso, the Yemei HaMiluim, which are days dedicated to celebrate the dedication of the Mishkan. So before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there were days in which the Nesiim brought their Karbanos. And this was all part of the Chanukah HaMishkan and the Chanukah HaMizbeach. On the side, it's no surprise that we read these parshios on Chanukah. The Parsha of Noso and the Chanukah HaMizbeach and the Parsha Balosha Saneros at the beginning of Balosha. Says Rav Meir Simcha, if the Chanukah HaMishkan is the paradigm of Simcha at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu's Chanukah HaMishkan would culminate, if you will, with the high point, the pinnacle of Simcha when they blew the trumpets. Says Rav Meir Simcha, this is going to be what we call in modern Hebrew an avtipus. This is your paradigm. This is your archetypical case of Simcha throughout Tanakh. And he says the following, V'pashti dekra, interesting. The Meshech Chachma emphasizes Pshuto Shel Mikra. Who? Dekolz man sheyeh chinuch mizbeach o chinuch azara. Whenever we dedicate the altar of God or the Azara the Holy with a Karbanos abroad, Tzarech litka b'chatzotzos. The purpose, the essential inherent mitzvah of Chatzotzos is connected to Chanukas HaMizbeach, Chanukas HaZorah, V'zeu Simcha. And that's our expression of Simcha. At the Chanukah, at the dedication, culminating the Yemei Miluim, which took place from the 23rd of Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan after Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And therefore, V'chein atomotzi, I'm going to try to prove to you, through Tanakh, that the Torah here in Parshas Baloscha, with regard to Moshe's Mishkan, is setting the pace for what's going to happen throughout history in Tanakh. And he says, V'chena tamotzi v'chinuch habayis b'shlomo. Shahayu kuf chaf kohanim. There were 120 kohanim. Tokim b'chatzotros. On that day in which Shlomo HaMelech was machanech, the second base on Migdosh, the kohanim were blowing the trumpets. Why? The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu has taught us that at a time of Chanukah HaMishkan, Chanukah HaMizbeach, we blow chatzotros to express our simcha. And how does Rabbi Simcha know that they blew the chatzotros at the time of the Chanukah HaSabayis of Shlomo Melech? So I'll read to you the pasuk which is quoted here in the footnote of Rav Kupa Minzal. It's in Perek Zayin of Divrei Yomim Beis. Hakohanim al Mishmartam Omdim, describing the great dedication of the first Beis HaMikdash. Halevim, the Levim were there, singing the songs, playing the instruments. And the instruments of David HaMelech, right, the harp of David HaMelech, Lahodos Lashem Ki Le'olam Chasdo. So this was the Hallel of David HaMelech, the Shir of David HaMelech, the Kalim that were being used instrumentally for David HaMelech. And then the Pasuk says, Va'akohanim Mechatzutrim Kenegdom. Mechatzutrim is the verb of the trumpets of the chatzotzros. They were blowing the trumpets. V'imayam kohanim l'meya v'yesrim mechatzitrim v'chatzotzros. The pasuk testifies that the kohanim were blowing the chatzotzros. Why were they blowing the chatzotzros? Were they gathering the people together to go out in battle? Was it a time of tzara? Some sort of magefa? No. So why were they blowing the chatzotzos? The answer is because the mitzvah of chatzotzos is the mitzvah of simcha, and specifically at the time of Chanukah HaMishkan, or in the case of Shlomo, at the time of Chanukah HaBayis. V'chein atamotzi, he's on a roll over here, Rav Meir Simcha, v'chanukah Ezra. Ezra dedicated the second Beis HaMikdash, Ubishas binyan hamizbeach b'yeis kiddush hazara, the chatzotzos were blown. And how does Rabbi Simcha know this? Once again, we will look in a pasuk in Ezra, the third chapter of Ezra, and it says that vayachinu hamizbeach al mechonav. This entire chapter is dedicated to the completion of the second bayis and the structuring of the Mizbeach. And the Pasuk says, V'yostu abonim es-Heichal Hashem. When the builders completed the work of building the Heichal Hashem, V'yamidu ha-Kohanim lubashim v'chatzotros. Ezra gathers together the Kohanim to blow the chatzotros at the time of the Binyan HaMizbeach, at the time of the Kiddush HaZara, following in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu, as he did at the time of the Chanukah HaMishkan. And so it's Moshe, it's Shlomo, and it's Ezra. And now the most radical breakthrough here, V'chein v'chizkiyoh HaMelech. Now wait a second. Did Chizkiyoh HaMelech build a Beis HaMikdash? Last time I checked, I'm not a bucky, I don't think he built a Beis HaMikdash. There was no Chanukah HaMikdash. Zakhtar Meir Simcha, Haya Kimo Chanukah Sabayis, a Chaf Adimyo. You know, in Halacha, we always say there's a din and there's kidin. You know, something else that has like some of the elements or the dimensions of a din. It's like it's almost a tolda, you know, it's a copy. And Chizkiyoh HaMelech was involved in kidin Chanukah HaMizbeach. And how is this so, and why is this so? So Rav Meir Simcha says, She'achaz, that wicked king Achaz, b'malo, with his me'ila, his treachery, hamid psalim b'beis HaMikdash. He had taken the idols into the Beis HaMikdash. And also now, Chizkiyo, al pi adibur, Rav Kuperman works very hard to find a source for this Rav Meir Simcha. He doesn't tell us from whence he derived the conclusion al pi adibur. But he finds in that perek that we mentioned earlier, Divrei Yomim Beis, Perek Chavtes, which describes Chizkiyahu's various actions, Ki biyad Hashem hametzava biyad Naviyav. And the pasuk says, Chinuch Beis Hashem, that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was involved in dedicating the Migdash, getting rid of all the Avodah Zarah, the idols that had been brought in by Achaz, cleaning it out, purifying it, and that was a great day of Chinuch Beis Hashem. And therefore he says, the Pasuk, in that same chapter, says, Ata Milesim Yedchem Lashem. Interesting, Lamale Yado, that's a phrase that the Torah uses at the end of Sefer Shmos, to describe Chanukas HaMishkan, Lemale Es Yodom LeKadish Osam. The same phrase appears in this chapter 29 in Chronicles 2, Kiviyad Hashem, when it says Lemale Es Yodom LeKadish Osam, to sanctify with Milu Yodom. Milu Yodom is no doubt a reference to Chanukah, to the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, the rededication at the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Havi Miluim, that was a celebration of Miluim Lamale Asayad, Lamale Yad, for the Chanukah HaMishkan, in this case Chanukah HaMikdash, of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And therefore, says Rav Meir Simcha, we can shed a light on the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in that same chapter of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Vayamdu HaLevim B'Klei David, that the Levim were playing the instruments of David HaMelech, V'Akohanim B'Chatzotros. Rabbona Shalolah, did Rav Meir Simcha have Bar Ilan? He was before computer word search. The man knew Tanakh like the back of his hand. Ask him where to find the word Chatzotros, and he's going to spit off four different parshios. Okay, Baloska, something that we should know. But then he's going to tell you about a parsha in Divrei HaYomim that describes Shlomo HaMelech, and the Kohanim 120 in number were blowing on the Chatzotros. He's going to quote to you a pasuk in the third chapter of Ezra, that at the time of Ezra's Kiddush, the Kohanim were blowing the Chatzotros. He's not going to stop there. He's going to fast forward to Divrei HaYomim Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel, and there too, Perek Chavtes, and there too he's going to find that the Kohanim are blowing the Chatzotros at the time that Chizkiyahu HaMelech is dedicating with Miluim the Beis HaMikdash, when he gets rid of all the filth and the contamination. Rabosei, there's a lot more here in this from Meir Simcha, but at least I wanted to get Aschola. Maybe I would whet your appetite to learn through this entire presentation of Meir Simcha. It's an amazing presentation. It gives us a different focus, a different understanding of Chanukah HaMizbeach. It gives us a different understanding of the Chatzotros, an expression of Simcha, and it shows us that if we learn Pshuto Shel Mikra here, in our Parsha in Valoscha, we can shed a light on so many different chapters throughout Tanakh, throughout Jewish history. Take this opportunity, thank you all for joining me, and wishing everyone a great, great Shabbos. Thank you so much. If anyone's interested in Daf Yomi, Amir Tz Hashem, in about 5 minutes, we'll start Daf Yomi.